What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. This is LLC Update. It's supposed to be with Rob from Frio Hydration, with Casey Polk from Polk Sports Medicine, and then Adam Halpern from Innovate AT. Casey had to head out of town, so he's driving and can't join us this time. But and then Rob, we're still waiting on him. And so I do have Adam Halpern here, and the idea behind this one was to just kind of discuss what it's like to create the LLC, why to do it, and it was to help me answer some of the questions in creating my own for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Again, so this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/LLC update. And so what we're going to focus on is what I need to do to pull the trigger. So I have the money saved. I'm ready to do it. I just wanted to discuss some of the reasons to make sure I understand fully, and that I'm not jumping into something that I'm not really ready for, to become that business owner, to become the LLC, to have that, and some of the things I need to consider. And I know I've talked to my friend Sean Reedy before about having the taxes and those kind of things, making sure things are done separately. So with Adam's expertise, we're going to walk through some of this. And like you said, he doesn't have all of the answers, but he's got a lot of them, and we're going to work together through that. So, Adam, welcome back to the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
No, yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. It's fun to be on your show all the time and just talk with other athletic trainers and kind of share some new ideas and how to move the profession forward. As we always say, innovation is exciting. We're not trying to change anything. We're just trying to evolve and move into the 21st century to create new opportunities for the athletic trainer. So what you're doing is exciting. You're getting a lot of feedback, a lot of support. So for us to support you is awesome. We appreciate it.
All right. So I'm not sure what is going on. We are streaming live, obviously, because Adam is there. But my Wi-Fi, where I would normally have my show notes and I can edit the Facebook stuff, there's this big chemical fire going on in Pasadena, which is probably 2 miles from the school, so maybe that's shutting stuff down. I don't know. So things aren't running as smoothly as I would hope, so hopefully that's not keeping Rob out. But all right, so fresh off of spring break, just getting everything started, but it's okay, we're ready to go. All right, so sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. What happened is I started a podcast about 10 years ago because I was like, hey, let me just try this recording my lessons for my students in biology. And then it kind of grew from there and grew from there. And then I talked with Dr. Josh Yellen from the University of Houston. And he's like, you know, this really could be a resource for athletic trainers rather than just a guest speaker thing for your students. And I was like, hey, you're right. And then so from there, it's kind of changed focus rather than, oh, well, let me just have a guest speaker every week to talk to the students. Well, now what I'm going to do is focus on promoting and improving the profession of athletic training through regular conversations about topics that are important to us. And so it's a community driven thing. And, you know, we always have the live discussions, people watching live on Facebook, asking questions, things like that. And so it's grown and it's, you know, there's people interested in, hey, how can I support you? What can I do? And obviously there's the cost of owning the website and things like that and going to different places. And so I wanted to make it more legit, and that's why I kind of began looking at creating the business, and then some of the conversations came up and someone said, hey, you need to talk to Adam. So I've talked to Adam, and then so here we are at this point. Like I said, I'm ready to take that step after we answer some questions here. So Adam, tell me more about Innovate AT and what the goal there is, and what you're set up to do.
Well, I'll even go back. I'll talk about what we're building in a little bit, but I'll talk about what you kind of experienced in. Was it 10 years ago you started your podcast? Was that how long ago it was?
There about, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's impressive. Good for you. So the two things that came to mind when you were talking was, one, you had an idea and you tried it out and you just tested it. And lo and behold, you started to get a little bit of momentum. People started to see the opportunity. And within, if we call it entrepreneurial, experience or ideas or mindset, and then in the startup world, you can never get stuck on one thing. This is what I'm going to do and I'm not going to change. So the term that they always use is you want to pivot. So you did a really nice job pivoting away from your original idea, listening to the feedback, right? So listening to the market feedback to understand what the opportunity could be. And 10 years later, you have something that's way beyond creating just a podcast for your students to listen to the notes if they missed class. So kudos to you for doing that. And then the second piece, as you were talking, like sometimes athletic trainers are scared of the word business. They're scared of the word sales because we don't learn any of it in school.
I mean,
I didn't learn anything. I didn't have any business classes. But one thing I always say is, like, I don't want to take something I'm really passionate about and has an opportunity to grow and just turn it into a hobby. So in order for something that can be successful, both personally and financially, if you don't want it to be a hobby and you want to protect yourself, having an actual legal entity around that opportunity or that skill set or just the growth potential of what it can be, it's much safer just to have a business around it instead of it just being, well, this is what I do on the side. Maybe I'll make some money. Maybe I won't. Because no matter what, we're in such a litigious community in society where people are always trying to find something to sue for, that if you have your own business and if you're an entity around that and it's not just in your name, it's just a level of protection. So, I mean, the first thing I'll talk about is I don't have all the answers. I mean, that's not my personality. We're just trying to create a resource for the athletic trainers to get the answers. So if we talk about like Innovate AT as a whole, it really goes back to what I've experienced throughout my career. So, I mean, I worked with the US ski team. I worked at Stanford as a grad assistant. And I, like many other athletic trainers that I've talked to, kind of reached that level. And we kind of turned around and said, like, that's it. Like, this is the rest of my career. Like, I love the people I work with. I love my skill set, but this is what I'm going to be doing forever. And I said, you know what? That just isn't right for me. So because of that, I kind of took one step out of athletic training, and I've worked in a bunch of different business models, different business industries, but I've always had one foot in athletic training. So because of that, I've always been passionate about the profession of athletic training, the individual athletic trainers that are my friends, you know, my colleagues, but I've always been looking at just the potential and the opportunity differently. And unfortunately, all of us know this, that if you're in a circle of athletic training, sometimes there's a lot of complaining and there's a lot of whining with no solutions. So Innovate AT came about because I said, well, I'm about solutions. I don't want to just be another griper about we don't make enough money. We work too much. I want to go into new markets, but I don't know how and there's no help. And I said, well, let me just do something about it. So Innovate AT, it started as just a resource to kind of capture the communication around the gripes to see what the potential was. So we kind of tested the market with what we call that, the Facebook page, just the free one, the green logo. And lo and behold, when I talk about pivoting, we're starting to really identify what the profession of athletic training wants, what it needs. And some of it is personal development. So Brandi Curry is a leadership coach, and she's going to help the individual athletic trainer really understand who they are, what they want to do, what their passions are. But at the same time, if that individual wants to be successful as an independent, they have to understand what it looks like to enter the job market as their own business, not just have an employment status with an organization. So the other half of Innovate AT is helping the individual athletic trainer set up their business, manage their business. And it's not Adam, it's not Brandy doing it. We've partnered with lawyers, we've partnered with accountants, we've partnered with bookkeepers, with insurance companies, with professional marketing companies to really set up the business entity properly, because they do that every single day and then manage it every single day. So what that does for the individual athletic trainer, it frees them up to focus on their passion, to focus on what they went to school for, and it creates a more efficient business model. Because in the business community, outsourcing is a major, resource in today's market. Last week I posted, I need a virtual assistant because I just need help. There's too much going on. And I literally had probably 100 people from all over the world asking to be a virtual assistant. So virtual assistants is how can I take some stuff off your plate that are tasks to free you up to do what you're really good at or what actually at the end of the day brings in more money. So one of the major things, if we talk about setting up an LLC, like anyone can set up an LLC. Anyone can. All you have the internet, everything is out there. All the resources are available. But for you to take time away from the podcast, to take time away from teaching, from covering sporting events, and then spending time with your family, there's a one-time cost where you have an expert that knows exactly what to do. You're actually going to get agreements within that arrangement that we've set up. So it just streamlines the process for every athletic trainer. Because I say that because athletic trainers have this mindset and the mentality of, well, I can figure it out. And my response is you can. Like, I'm not saying people are not smart enough to do it, but it's how much time and energy is it going to take to do it on their own that if someone wants to get it done right away, something else is going to suffer. And maybe it's their job, it's their family life, and or there's the risk of not doing it properly, right? I mean, there's a risk of not filling out a city license or a county license and paying taxes that in the future there might be a big downfall because we had that mentality of, I'm an athletic trainer, I can figure everything out. So for you, and in the sports medicine broadcast, yes, you are really not touching patients. You're not doing hands-on therapy. Sometimes you don't even see the people other than through a screen. But if you start to present information inappropriately and you don't have an LLC to protect you, someone can go after like you personally and your family because there's no other entity to protect it. That if you just had misinformation, not on purpose, just an accident, at least if you have an LLC to protect it, that's one angle. And then you and I have talked about the opportunity for sponsors and to receive money. That if you're receiving sponsorship dollars, you want to have that money go to the legal entity, the business, not you personally, because then that totally changes, you know, taxes and just how your future can be set up. And once again, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a lawyer. I just know there's something there that is to protect you. So my response is, well, let the lawyers and the accountants set it up for you. So then you're able to do more broadcasts and get more sponsors because you're growing your viewership and just the rich content that you want to build on.
So obviously there was a lot in that there. And then, you know, like you said, we've talked about, I'm just getting started with receiving money. I've been doing this for a long time. One of the things you did say right there at the end, I want to question is if I'm putting information out there that is incorrect, if it, as long as nobody's paying for it, is there still some sort of liability? Because, I mean, obviously there's always fake news and people aren't legally held responsible for that. But like, say I'm doing a podcast and I say LLCs are terrible, they're super expensive, they're super difficult. So I'm putting false information or incorrect information out there. But then now somebody can come back and say, well, Jeremy told me that they were terrible, so never to do it. Can you explain that just a little bit?
So my response is that is a legal question. So we can ask a lawyer. What I'm referring to is just to protect yourself. And because you are growing your viewership and there's more opportunities, it's safer to have a legal entity in case something happens. Now, how to answer your question from the legal term of if you use the term fake news, how can you be liable for that? No idea. That's where, if I have a question, I just ask the legal team and then I know. But I don't want to even try to answer that question because that's way outside my pay grade. But if you have just a legal entity protecting Jeremy Jackson because the sports medicine broadcast is the entity sending out that information, then Jeremy Jackson will be a layer removed from whatever happens within that content. Does that make sense? Is that helpful?
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, you're not, you have the legal team in place to ask that question, and you don't want to speak about something, again, that you're not extremely well-versed. And, you know, I listen to Dave Ramsey all the time, and he says, you know, I'm not a lawyer or I'm not an accountant. And so he said, you know, seek competent legal advice in your area. And so he always makes that disclaimer and saying, you know, this is what I understand it to be, but don't take it as law. So,
yeah, same thing. Same thing. Because, I mean, when we are setting up our we call it business formation. So an athletic trainer fills out a questionnaire, just some information, what the business name, what they want it to be, you know, their address. We then send all that information to the lawyers, to the bookkeepers, and all of those professions, right? Not just the individual lawyer, but their knowledge of how that industry works. They look at what we are building for the athletic trainer and they get excited. And they get excited because they realize they deal with a lot of business owners that think they can do it by themselves all the time. So what happens is when those lawyers or those accountants receive new clients, they're usually cleaning up a lot of messes that the individual business owner made just because they're not an expert. It doesn't mean they were trying to do anything wrong. It doesn't mean they were trying to avoid paying taxes. They just really had no idea what they were doing. So they were trying to save money in the beginning, but in the long run, they spent way more money because it wasn't set up properly from the beginning. And it's always easy for me to use our profession as an analogy, that if someone does not go to an athletic trainer right away for anterior shoulder pain or low back pain, and they wait a couple years to be seen, that has a much higher cost on healthcare because there's so much more that has to be cleaned up and fixed before the original symptoms can even come to the surface. So starting a business is very similar, that if we go to the experts first and they set it up properly from the beginning, it's much easier to manage that level of a business instead of cleaning up messes by, you know, the fear or the cost perspective.
And again, just another somewhat related is, you know, I have a house, we have a mortgage. And so we went from doing escrow, which is I pay the mortgage company and they pay my taxes and insurance, to where I pay it all myself. Well, the school district taxes were sent to the insurance company and never sent to me, or sent to the mortgage company and never sent to me. But I ended up having to pay fees because it was 2 months, 3 months later where I actually received a bill saying, hey, you have to pay these fees. And so because I didn't follow all of the steps and make sure I had all of those things, because I didn't know any different, I ended up having to pay, you know, $50, $100 or whatever it was. It's like, this is ridiculous. I didn't know, no notification was ever, nothing was ever sent to me. Sorry, it's still your fault as a homeowner when you sign that mortgage. You know, you sign that paper saying that you'll pay these, and it's still your responsibility whether they sent that to you or not. And so again, it's just, I had to pay those extra fees to clean it up. And so again, that's the reason that, like you said in the beginning, I can focus my time on doing the podcast, on creating the content, on spending time with my family, rather than doing all the research to look at LegalZoom and create that one part, and then have to go back and create the city and state and licensing and a registrar and all this other things like that. And so, so you mentioned, I went to Innovate AT, I filled out the form, I said this is what I want it to be, and then, you know, I've been in contact with the lawyer saying this is what it would be, and this is what would be included in that fee. So tell me just a little bit more about, if I was to say yes, what's going to happen then?
So I'm going to have two conversations here. One is for the sports medicine broadcast, and then the other one is for the businesses that we can help set up. So the reason I say that, you have a one-off. So the sports medicine broadcast is a podcast. Most athletic trainers that are going to come to us are not doing podcasts. They're trying to set up a business where they can deliver the service that they learned through their education and experience to a new market and get paid for it. So what we've built for those individuals, those athletic trainers, is a standardized system where you sign up, you get your LLC paperwork, you get your federal tax identification number, you get your business license, and then you also get some agreements to treat the patients that you're going to see. So it's a standardized, just most athletic trainers are doing the same thing. So we're able to package it and make it really convenient for all parties involved. Yours is a little bit different because you're not treating anyone. You're just setting up a business and you would have a different agreement that would be with a sponsor. So for yours, that's why we actually sent you directly to the lawyer kind of through us. So if an athletic trainer has a different business model, like if they were inventing a product or if they were trying to go more into like medical sales, we would have them contact the legal team that we've partnered with that is really understanding athletic training and how it works and all the nuances to help set up that business. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I know athletic trainers think athletic training is very special and it's very unique, but business is business. All business has to operate the same way. They have to have very, you know, legal contracts and agreements in the same place. Just the language of each agreement is what's different. So we're not working with, you know, something that is so unique that it's revolutionary. Starting a business is starting a business. We just created a standardized process for the athletic trainer that wants to do event coverage. They want to treat people privately. That's really what we created. And then the Sports Medicine Podcast is legal team. We're going to have individual athletic trainers that have something different. And when that happens, we'll refer them directly to you. So that's what we did with you. And so yours is a little bit non-traditional for most athletic trainers that come to us.
Right. So Jesse Shanks was watching live and asked where they sign up. So I sent innovateat.com is the place to sign up or to go check it out, to look at it, to contact Adam. And also if you're watching on Facebook, you could go to Innovate AT. There's the public group there. So you can search Innovate AT and go right there, check that out and join in the community, see who's there and ask them some questions there like that. And then you can continue from there. Charlie Hunt wants to know, is there a great place to see a breakdown or a reliable or respectable list of pros and cons of creating an LLC? So is that something that you feel like you can cover right here, Adam?
You know what? We have the legal team actually sent us an ebook. So I can maybe even just post that today, Charlie. I can get that to you. And then, you know, I think it was Jesse that was going to go to the website. We're revamping the website. So when we started, right, we go back to the inception of Innovate AT. It was about the community, which is around the conversation that we have every day within Innovate AT about how and what athletic trainers are seeking, which is a community of like-minded thinkers, because usually we're by ourselves and we're kind of the black sheep. So now Innovate AT has created it. So our current website has that feel, where it's really just about the community. We're in the process of revamping and building out the whole new membership platform, which will have way more information around what we just talked about. So for both Jesse and Charlie, your questions will be addressed on the new site, which we're hoping within a couple of weeks we'll be able to deploy it. But if either one of you have specific questions or you want just information, send me just a direct message and I'll give you what we have currently. And I mean, you can find me on through the Innovate AT Facebook page or just email me adam@innovateat.com, but either one. So those are great questions and I wish I had very specifics, but it's such a broad answer and I could be talking for 45 minutes on that. We already have the documents to send out. I'll just send it to you guys. That's much easier than to ramble on and on, because I know you have other questions, Jeremy.
That was actually one of the things that you covered in, you know, there's the legal entity, the legal protection. And then, you know, Rob had talked to me before about taxes, and I've read Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, talking about creating a company and the income going towards the company rather than me. And, you know, we just did our taxes. So, you know, the tax returns, those kind of things. So financially, why would I start or create the LLC versus just, you know, somebody like Myotech as a sponsor of the podcast? So they sent that check to me, to Jeremy Jackson. I deposited it in my bank account because I don't have a Sports Medicine Broadcast bank account, because I haven't created the business, so I can't create that bank account. And so why would I want to spend that money to create the LLC to financially?
Yep. So we've talked about the legal concerns, right? I'm not a lawyer, but just the legal protection in case something goes awry. The advantage of owning a business, and once again, I'm not an accountant, but this is just what I've learned, is when you own a business, you can write off a lot of business activities, which would then impact your personal taxes. So all of the equipment you purchase that you're speaking on and your computer would be a business expense that wouldn't come out of your personal checking account. Every time you travel to NATA, that's a business expense. If you have to buy paper and pens, your cell phone, gas, everything that would be around owning a business to make sure that business is successful is now a tax write-off. And so once again, tax laws, or how much of my house can I write off if I do work at my house?
So taking the money that I get, like MedBridge pays me an affiliate income. And so making sure that, hey, that's going towards the podcast stuff, but it's still in my bank account, and it's really only for this, and it's because of this. And so right now it is kind of a mess because there's no clean cut, organized way to keep those separate. So after today, I'm going to send you the email saying, yes, hey, let's begin this process, finalize it. How long is it realistically going to take for them to get all that stuff set up for me?
So setting up the business from the legal end, that does not take a lot of time. The thing that takes the most time, and every city and state is different, so I can't give you an answer, is getting your business license where you live. So from California to Texas, it's based on the state or city office and how long they take to fill out the paperwork to get you the business license. So, I mean, it can go, you know, up to 6 weeks, but it could also be done in 1 or 2 weeks just based on how fast they are. So it's, some of it is outside of our control. I mean, we send it to the lawyers right away. They fill it out, and then we just wait for the state or the city to finalize it.
All right. So I could be looking, you know, 2 to 6 weeks to have the city, state, everything official. And then at that point I could go, and I should not have to do anything else as far as getting the business name or creating the entity. At that point, I should be able to just go to the bank and say, hey, I want to open a bank account that says Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Yeah. So you just brought up a great point. Once you have a business entity, then you need to have a checking account, so you're able to keep your personal finances and the business finances separate, right? So once you get a business account, the next phase is every single month, you're going to have money coming in. And you might have expenses every month. So you have to track and manage those expenses and revenues. So the next phase that we've set up is bookkeeping services with professional bookkeepers that they're able to access your business checking account and your credit card. So then they create the chart of accounts every single month that manages all the money in and money out. Then at the end of the month, they'll create a P&L, you know, a profit and loss statement, and then a balance statement for you and say, here's what your business is doing. And then from there, you have the proper data to look at, oh, I feel like I'm spending too much money there, or I didn't even realize I made that much money there. What can I do to increase that revenue in that category? So it's really having a bookkeeper creates a coach. And it's a coach around the financial numbers that, once again, athletic trainers don't learn in our traditional education setting. People can learn it, right? If someone's good at math, accounting is really just math. But there's a lot of time that goes into managing all of the transactions that happen every single month within a business. So back to the conversations I've had with bookkeepers is when some of their clients bring them a shoebox of receipts at the end of the year, that costs way more money than if they did it every single month, just as in real time, to get the athletic trainer's business up to speed, or just the business in general up to speed. So when I say they have access to your credit card and your bank statement, they can just have read only. It doesn't mean they have to be able to spend money. They just need to go in there and review, okay, this transaction was for this service, this transaction was for that expense, whatever the case may be. So then they can reconcile it at the end of the month. So that's the next step. So when you're at a long volleyball tournament, like you said, you were over the weekend, you don't then go home and say, oh, I got to reconcile all these statements for the last 10 days, because they would be doing it all the time. You might just send them an email with all the receipts of what you spent for the business, and then they would do it. But that's one of the biggest things about owning a business is having proper bookkeeping, because then that impacts your taxes as well.
All right. So if I say, okay, I'm signing up, they create the LLC, I create the bank account. And so this bookkeeping service, it's something that I'm going to pay Are they going to also take care of my taxes? Because like I said, I just filed it. I used, you know, a local company that was recommended by Dave Ramsey. And so am I now going through Innovate AT's preferred bookkeeper service and they're taking care of my business taxes and personal taxes? Or is this just to keep books straight and then I also have to pay for taxes on the side?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It is just bookkeeping. It is not a full accountant or, you know, CPA, certified public accountant. So what they would do is for Sports Medicine Broadcast, they would have all your numbers accurate, and then you would take the document and then they would give it to your accountant to then file for both your business and your personal. So we have access to accountants. Like if you're like, I don't know where to find an accountant, we can definitely support that. But we're not at that level to where we have accountants as part of the resource. And the reason is like the bookkeepers only have access to the business. So they can't do your taxes because they don't have Jeremy Jackson's personal information to finalize the taxes. They're just doing your business P&L statement and your balance sheet and, you know, focusing on the chart of accounts. So they would give you the proper documents to file your taxes. So then your business is squared away and then you just mesh the two to file your taxes. But if you wanted help with that, let me know and we can set up a conversation with you and them and see if that would even be more streamlined to do it for you to benefit.
All right. So we've talked about the legal protection, the reason having a business protects you from being sued, or it just gives you that one step off so that it's not just attacking you. It's somebody going after the business and then your personal things aren't up for grabs, I guess, in a lawsuit. And so it creates that legal, and then it also creates that financial separation. So there's tax benefits. And, you know, when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he talked about, well, they had a business meeting in Hawaii or something like that. And so, you know, even just traveling with Rob as the CEO of Frio Hydration, he drove me to New Orleans. And so, you know, the rental car, the gas, those were things that he had on the business account. The meals, those were things he had on the business account because it was pertaining to the business. And so it also, like you said, it comes off of your income. So if Rob made $10,000 at NATA, but he spent $5,000, well, then he only made $5,000. So then he's only liable for the $5,000 worth of income. That's kind of what I understand you saying, what I've understood him to say as well.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Yeah. And it's not coming out of your personal checking account. You're paying those business expenses out of the business account. So then you're able to keep things separate, you know, for personal sanity, but also the legal requirements around owning a business.
All right. What are the reasons that I would not want to create an LLC?
I mean, there's a cost associated with it. So if someone's like, I don't make enough money to justify spending money to build a business, that's a good one. If they're never really going to make any money and it is a hobby, you don't need to form a business. Those are probably, in my mind, those are probably the two major reasons. An accountant or a lawyer would probably have some additional answers. But from what I can remember from my conversations, you're not generating revenue and you just don't make enough to even justify it.
All right. And so again, that's with me traveling to different places. You know, I went to PSADS, I'm going to NATA this year and last year, and hopefully I'm being asked to come to some of the other things and podcasts live from there, interview, and, you know, I've been asked to do speaking as well. So like whenever I travel to the Louisiana Athletic Trainers Association this May to present at theirs, that I'm just curious, does that also fall into a business expense? Is that something I would consider a marketing expense for the Sports Medicine Broadcast? So any of those things could fall in there as well, or?
Are they, so once again, this is me asking you a question, not as a lawyer or as an accountant. Are you being asked as Jeremy Jackson, the athletic trainer at a high school, or are you being asked because you're the owner of the Sports Medicine Podcast?
I think the reason I'm asked is because of the podcast. I don't know people in Louisiana that would say, hey, let's call Jeremy over at Pasadena High School because he's an athletic trainer at Pasadena High School. I think the reason is because I've met people on the podcast, and you know, like Scott Arsenault or Ray Castle, those guys have been on the podcast. They, you know, a lot of times Scott's checking in live, and so there's, I think the reason that they know who I am and what I do is because of the podcast, and what I'm presenting there is tech tools to help the athletic trainer. And so I think the reason they know who I am and what I do is because of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. But I don't, they didn't say, hey, because you're hosting the Sports Medicine Broadcast, will you come speak? But they said, hey, this is a topic we would like to cover, and you know, you are recommended as an expert, kind of thing. So
if you go, are you going to talk about the Sports Medicine Broadcast at all?
Yeah, one of the things is, you know, I don't want to give it all away here, but you know, I would say one of the tech tools that helps is listening to podcasts. I listen to Smart Passive Income from Pat Flynn or Dave Ramsey, you know, those kind of things that help me continue to build and create my the podcast. But also I listen to some sports medicine ones, and obviously every time I do a podcast I learn something new that helps build my profession, build my practice as an athletic trainer. And so this is definitely a great way to continue to grow in something that you're really passionate about, is podcast. So the focus isn't the Sports Medicine Broadcast, but it will be discussed as part of a tech tool that can help an athletic trainer grow.
So do you think you're going to be discussing business related content when you're out there?
I am not sure. I'm unsure of the question.
So my answer is you are, because you're talking about the business you own, right? Which is Sports Medicine Broadcast. So then, in my opinion, you'd be able to report some of that as a business expense. But once again, you would just ask the proper professionals before you go, you know, what can be spent. And once again, tax laws change all the time. You know, with different administrations that come into office, things are always changing. But that would be a really good question. And I think it would qualify, but I'm not going to put my stamp of approval on it because that's not my expertise. Just ask the professionals. But you're not talking about what you're doing with your family when you're out there. You're talking about the business that you own. So whenever you go anywhere and you discuss business matters, well, that's a business-related activity. And if there's any cost associated with that business activity, then there you go.
All right. So there's definitely a good financial advantage there if you're making some money. And I know when I talked to Jared Parks, and we're going to be talking to him coming up this week or next, but he was saying one of the things he wants to get into is being like a guest speaker at places, one of those type things. And creating that LLC through Innovate is another option for him to kind of change the way that those expenses look for him. All right. So again, we've talked about the legal, we talked about the financial reasons, some of the reasons that I might not create an LLC. we've kind of walked through the process of what it would look like starting it through Innovate AT and what the goal of Innovate AT is there. And so now, you know, I sign up, I've created the LLC. What is next for me, and how is Innovate AT going to help me grow what I'm doing? I know, like, I'm in the private community, and I see a lot of stuff. And Allison Strickland recommended the Donald Miller, Build Your Story brand, and I've been listening to that on Audible, and it's really helped, because one of the things that I just listened to, and actually I changed my website to reflect it, and I think I might have to work on it some more, is a tagline that you memorize. And so the Sports Medicine Broadcast is a podcast to promote athletic training. But what I just changed it to this weekend is a podcast to promote and improve athletic training. And I may end up changing a podcast to promote and improve our profession to help athletic trainers, or to help us grow as a profession. So I see, I still got to work on it. I'm lost after that. But so where are we going after the bill is paid and I'm an LLC?
This is where, like, the Brandy Curry, like, leadership, personal development component comes in. That what, like, building a business and forming an LLC is a tactical requirement to have a business. We now have to look at, well, what are the strategies to do so? What are the personal sometimes limitations that are happening? Are we scared of crucial conversations? Are we scared of networking? How do we build relationships throughout the community? So that is where the whole other piece of what Innovate AT is going to be delivering to the individual athletic trainer. So we're having masterminds are where people work together to create actionable items to follow through and to have accomplishments. We'll be having in-person events. So we're going to be doing like annual summits. So in athletic training, all of us go to conferences, and you've mentioned a ton that you're going to. And all of those are focused on CEUs to maintain our certification, and we have to have presentations. The networking is there, but it's really around maintaining our ability to act as a professional within our profession. What we're doing is we're kind of taking a page out of what happens in other industries. So some of us are familiar with South by Southwest, which is a big tech conference in Austin, and it has a bunch of concerts. That is a place where people in the technology industry get to stand up and say, this is what I'm working on, this is the impact, and people support one another. It's really not around what type of education do we have to know to maintain our license or certification. So we've done a business and an innovation and business summit for athletic training, and it went really well. People loved it. So we're going to be setting up some of those again to where, as an example, you, Jeremy, would be standing on a stage or sitting in a couch, just talking about what you've learned, how it's impacted your personal and your professional career, what you're trying to do next. And it's really that community mindset about how are we helping one another. So when you talk about creating a podcast for the athletic trainer and moving their profession forward, those are conversations that we've had internally. So what we're trying to do with Innovate AT is, I always use the phrase built by us, for us. So if you're looking to do that, how can we partner together to where we really elevate the waters for everyone? So anyone else that's listening, if someone has a great idea that other athletic trainers could benefit from, well, let's partner on it. Like, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the resources. I don't have all the time to do everything. That if all of us partner together to really do things for one another, we can really change the game for the profession. And if we look at all the other associations, they love to ask people to volunteer. We're building a model that it's around value, that if someone is an expert and they've gone through the ropes to figure it out, well, they should get compensated for that time. So we're building like shared revenue models with everyone. If they want to do something, yeah, let's do it. We're gaining a bigger audience. How do we deploy and launch that athletic trainer and their service that they're trying to do? And it's really a shared economies model that we're building with Innovate AT. So starting a business is the first phase, but once you have it, then there's managing the business, and that's where all the professionals manage it. And then it goes into what is that personal development. So when we talk about management, just to your point, Jeremy, part of what you get within the monthly management fee is an actual one-on-one call with Brandy every single month, who is a private individual business coach. Like, that's what she went to years of training to do, that you would meet with her once a month and say, okay, this is what I want to do next. And she would say, okay, well, what are some of the limitations? What's holding you back? What are some of the opportunities? And really just helping you kind of shape and mold that idea and then helping you execute it. But her and I will say this to the end of the day, we can only do so much. It has to be the athletic trainer that is the one that is really driving the bus for whatever they want to do. We don't have all the answers. We pull the answers out of the individual. So to help them kind of navigate through that self-discovery and self-exploration about what's next, that's the exciting part of the journey. I'll just say this because we might have athletic trainers that are listening and they might have zero desire to start a business, right? I know this is the LLC, title. But if there's an athletic trainer that is working at a high school or even at a college and they ask themselves like, well, I think I'm interested in kind of dabbling in the idea of owning a business. If they listen and work with us and they work with Brandy and they find out that their passion is maybe the secondary school setting, maybe the college, and they really don't like risk and they don't like the fear of not having a 401k and a pension, then if we help an athletic trainer realize that they aren't supposed to start a business, they're supposed to work at a high school or a college, when they go back to that setting, they're going to feel more comfortable because now they looked at the grass on the other side. Like the grass is not always greener, but that self-discovery might help them realize, you know what, I'm supposed to work here. And then there's a calming effect. They understand it a little bit better. So we talk about it all the time. Innovate AT is not just about starting a business. That's a component of it. But if we can help an individual athletic trainer identify what their passion is, how they can make an impact on the setting they're in, how can they overcome some of the current hurdles they have with their sitting in their setting to make a greater job situation, we're happy. And we're creating a whole mentorship program where if athletic trainers have done cool things within their career and other athletic trainers would love to have access to those experiences and that mindset, that's what we're building out. So some of it, yes, will be within a business model, but some of it will be, I never had a chance to work here or in that setting. What took you to that place? How can I learn from you and all that kind of stuff? So we're doing some cool stuff. And like I said, we want to hear from everyone that has been a supporter, a fan. We don't have all the answers. We want feedback from people. So please keep us posted on what you want. And then we'll figure out a way to build it out and then deploy it.
I think Brandy's ears are burning. She just joined us live there in the chat. But I have a question from Julia Elaine Young. And it was, should you start generating revenue before you form an LLC? Or should you form the LLC first and then begin generating that revenue?
Julia, I mean, that's a great question. And I'm going to say there's no right or wrong answer from my opinion, talking with the lawyers and the accountants. If you start it from scratch, all of the money can go directly into your business checking account. And then the bookkeepers can manage it, or yourself if you do it, if you don't have a bookkeeper. So it's much easier because you don't have to go backwards. The downside is what we talked earlier. There's going to be a cost associated with setting up a business, which can be really affordable if you do it on your own. Remember, all of you can do it. But there's always the risk of if you start one and maybe it doesn't work out, then you don't use it. But if you have an LLC can stay dormant. So it doesn't mean you have to make money and pay taxes. It can just kind of sit there. It really goes into how passionate are about the business are you? Do you want to really make it successful? If you don't start a business and you start collecting money for whatever service you're doing, and then you start a business and then you have to file taxes, well, all of those receipts you can then transfer over and to use it in a business. Like within the same year. I know that has happened with one of our clients. But there's just going to be some like cleanup and you have to just kind of go back in time and figure out where all those expenses were and what they were for. So it's, I think that answer is up to you, like how serious about the business are you and how much after the fact work do you want to clean up? That's my answer based on what we've experienced with the lawyers and the accountants. I mean, there's always the protection aspect that if you're treating patients and you're just a sole proprietor, and if someone slips on the ice going into your house, if you don't have a clinic, if you don't have a setting and they hurt themselves, that's 100% you. Like that's the risky part. Or if you didn't think their ACL was torn and you were doing, I don't know, lateral jumps and all of a sudden they crumble and collapse, and you hurt them, that's you. So, I mean, there's always the risk of treating people.
One of the things that I really appreciate is I think every time I've talked with you, you're like, I'm not an expert in everything, but we're connecting with those people. So, you know, building those strategic partnerships. And I feel like you've reiterated that again and again during this conversation is that I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything, but we're building out that team so that if you have something you need to know about leadership, you need something you need about finances or legal or practical or how did you do this? We have people, we're creating this collection of people who are experts in that one area and we can point you and help you grow in that area. One of the questions that came up yesterday when I was talking with Eddie was, what am I going to do with this? Or would I ever step away from the high school, the secondary school to do just podcasting if it grew to that, right? And you'd mentioned, you know, the passion being, hey, I like having the stability of the job and the 403B or 401k or whatever it is, and those kind of things. And so for me, what are some of the things you feel like I should really consider looking forward to, like setting that goal? So one of the things that I said to Eddie was, I think if I was ever to step away from the high school, I would lose connection, or I would lose the credibility that I have in the podcast, because the things that I talk about are things that I'm working through right now. So when we talk about leadership, you know, I talked about how it's working, playing out with my students, with my coaches, with my admin team, how I'm doing, building and creating that interaction. Or when we talk about the shoulder evaluation, rehab, and those kind of things, those are things that I say, okay, this is what I experienced yesterday. This is what you said. And then I, you know, came back after that podcast and tried this, and it seemed to work out. So looking at that, like I said, what would you say, setting those goals or projections, or I guess maybe even warnings against?
So that's a great question. There's a lot of stuff in the question. It's multi-layered. The first one, and Brandy and I talk about this all the time, and I've already mentioned it. We don't have the answers. So to help you identify what your passion is and what you want it to become, I'm not diverting away from the answer, but it would be talk with Brandy, because she will help you identify what that passion is, whatever it is. Now, with that said, you are correct that if you are not treating people, sometimes others feel that you have a little bit less credibility because you're not treating them every day. Like, I don't practice clinically anymore. I love athletic training. I love what people are doing, but I think my higher calling is to build something for the success of other athletic trainers to allow them to do what they want to do clinically, right? So I don't really talk about anything clinically. So just talking strategically, if your passion goes down the road of, well, I want to have the sports medicine broadcast within the profession of athletic training, well, then you just put on the air the clinicians that can talk about the clinical stuff, right? So it doesn't mean you have to be the end all for everything. You would just come up with a strategy to where you're able to follow your passion and then create the resource for the audience that you're creating the passion for. And just, I mean, you've said it, like, I don't do the bookkeeping. I've created a vehicle where we have professional bookkeepers. So you could have the sports medicine broadcast, you're the face of it, and then you have someone as the clinical expert because you're focusing on your new passion, whatever it may be. Or stay at the high school and just make this a side project where you just are able to carve out time per week that allows you to do both the job and then your passion, which is a business. But I mean, the real answer is, if you're starting to have those questions now, it really is the perfect time to talk with Brandy to really identify who you are, what you want to do, and then that will get you on a clear path, even if it's for 6 months. It doesn't have to mean she's setting your path for the next 30 years of your career, but she will clearly identify what your next steps need to be. Or you'll identify it by working with her. Like I said, she's not, you know, saying, okay, step one is this, you do this for me, and then step two. That's not our approach. Our approach is just helping you guys identify what is important to you.
Yeah, I think we covered that whenever John Seco and I interviewed Brandy about leadership. And, you know, she's got her own leadership mastermind, and she's going to be talking about that with Allison Strickland on the podcast coming up. And that's what she was saying, like she's commenting there. She said the big first step is digging into exactly what you want. And when people have asked me that question about the sports medicine broadcast, like, I enjoy meeting people, connecting with people, and then continuing to learn and grow. But then, honestly, one of the big things is I want to be able to take my family. Like, when NATA is in Orlando, I want to be able to say, okay, well, we're going to go to Orlando for pretty much free because somebody's paying for, you know, the travel and the hotel and the food, you know, or I'm making this income off of the sports medicine broadcast that allows me to spend that money to do that kind of thing. And so obviously I feel like my big why for the sports medicine broadcast is to promote, improve our profession. And then my personal why for the podcast is to build relationships.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. It's good that you've had some of that discovery. I'll give Brandy a plug. She's talked with athletic trainers, you know, kind of within our bubble, and it has been life-changing for some of them. She's hit emotional nerves that pulled out their real passion, and there's been tears shed. So it really is a unique experience when an athletic trainer works with Brandy or a personal coach that really is unbiased and is asking questions that are sometimes bringing out answers that have been covered up with years of just, you know, workload and trying to figure out how to get it done. That it is a revolutionary experience for some athletic trainers if they're interested in identifying why they are an athletic trainer, you know, why they're doing what they're doing. I highly recommend it.
All right. So while we're on that right there, if someone wants to get a hold of Brandy, is the best way to join the Innovate AT Facebook group to find her on Facebook? What would you recommend there?
I'll say two things. Yes, she's on the Innovate AT Facebook page, so you can send her a message. If people are watching this, she can probably just put her email in the comments and then people can capture it and send her an email directly. Because I know you said she was watching. I don't know if she went back to class or not, but she's definitely there.
So Brandy, if you're watching, if you'll type in the chat, the best way to connect with us there, I'll read it. And then it'll stay in the comments and I'll share the video later. People can see that there.
Or contact me, just adam@innovateat.com and just say, I would like to talk to Brandy and I'll connect you with Brandy. That works also. No. And I mean, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. We have a private group that has like a deeper level of conversation. So the green logo, that is what we call our free Facebook page. And we have a private community that is a black logo that it's $5 a month, but it is a totally different conversation because it's people that are doing things. It's people that have answers. It's people that have experience. So if anyone that's listening is interested in that group, that's like the first phase of, okay, now I'm really investing in the community and what can this community do for me and what can I do for the community? So if anyone has any questions about that, contact me as well.
All right. So Brandy did drop her email. It's Brandy, B-R-A-N-D-Y at brandycurry.com. And that's BrandyCurry.com.
And Brandy and I are going to be, we're going to be at a couple events this year. I know she's going to, I think MATA, I think she's presenting there. And then she has her state association meeting in, I think April. I think it's the same weekend that we have Rocky Mountain Athletic Trainers Association. And that is like the 13th of April weekend. We're both going to be in Vegas. So we're going to be putting together like Innovate AT little get-togethers where if people are listening, if they're not part of the group and they want to just get to know us personally, if they are part of the group and they want to have the next level conversation about, hey, how can I contribute more? We're building out education modules that if an athletic trainer wants to present on something, like we can do that and you'll get paid for it. So like I will say this over and over and over again. We're not asking for volunteers. We're asking for people that want to have a business idea and they want to make money for their professional career, come to us because there's things that we can all do together to really elevate the waters for 45,000 athletic trainers across the country.
All right. So the book, Donald Miller, the Build Your Story brand, and I was talking about the elevator pitch or the rehearsed tagline for the sports medicine broadcast, which I'm going to kind of continue to improve there. And I'll throw that out there in the Innovate AT community and see what people think and see how I should change that and then continue to work on memorizing and knowing that and being able to say that anytime anybody asks what I do. For Innovate AT, what is that elevator pitch? What is that tagline?
Oh, that's a good question. You're putting me on the spot. I say Innovate AT is for the individual athletic trainer, and we're providing resources for them to be successful. And I say that because we're not focused on the business side only. We're focused on the individual athletic trainer. All the other associations are focused on the profession. So Innovate AT is focused on the professional and providing, you know, tools and resources for them to be successful.
All right. It is kind of towards the end here. You know, like you said, you're going to be in Vegas. I'll be in Vegas doing the podcast lounge. just a random, completely random topic there. You said MATA, M-A-T-A, so that's for something, Athletic Trainer Association. So how come you say MATA instead of M-A-T-A?
I have no idea. I've heard it that way. I mean, I'm on as a district, you know, treasurer, we go to meetings and I think I've heard MATA. Maybe Brandy said MATA once. I have no idea. I really have no idea why I say it. And maybe I'm incorrect and it should be M-A-T-A. So if I'm saying it incorrectly, I apologize. I think I just heard that once and it's faster than saying M-A-T-A. So if I offend anyone, that was completely on accident. I did not mean to do that.
No, it's a question that I've asked before, like on social media, and I think most people, and it was specifically about NATA, because some people say NATA and some people say NATA, and so again, I say SWATA, which is Southwest Athletic Trainers Association, or GHATS, which is Greater Houston Athletic Trainers Association. So it's just funny how we say those things, just because we've heard somebody else say it, or it's what makes sense to us. And
well, it's probably similar to, do you say Coke or Pop? Right. It's probably based on where you grew up and just different dialects across the country. There's probably a component of that in there.
All right. So Adam, in just a second, I'm going to ask you for like a final plug there. So I've also partnered with Hoist Hydration. So it's a drink that I love. I've personally felt that it's helped when like I was kind of dehydrated, headaches, or after, you know, I did a long run and then the next morning I had a little bit of a headache. So I drank one of those and felt a lot better. And so again, it's something that I personally enjoy drinking. My students have enjoyed it as well. They buy it out of the athletic training room. And so if you're going to check out Hoist, especially during March in ATM, a certain number of people will receive a free case if you order one when you use the code THESMB. So check it out. And that code also gets you a discount or free shipping, kind of depending on what time of year it is. So if you're going to check out Hoist or at Drink Hoist on Twitter, then you can use the code THESMB. All right, Adam. So final plug thoughts for Innovate AT, creating an LLC as an athletic trainer.
I mean, the final plug is if anyone has questions, like you can call me, we can talk. I mean, when I talk about we're trying to make money, yes, we're a business. We're not just going to continue to volunteer our time and complain about it as a profession. But if anyone listening has just like the next level question and they want to just have a little bit more clarity because they weren't able to ask it directly to me, you can definitely email me, adam@innovateat.com. And then we'll follow up with a phone call. And then lastly, like we're here for you guys. We want to hear from you. We want to know what's needed in our profession. We have ideas, but if you start a business, you have to do market research. Like, what does the market want? Like, we're not going to sit back and say, this is what the market needs. We need to understand what the market wants, and then we build for the market. So please, please, please continue to tell us what is going to help you grow personally, grow professionally, make you more money, help you move to a city you want to live in. It doesn't matter what it is. That's what we need to know. Brandy and I, and then Allison is a lot of the marketing, like really understanding how to deploy this stuff to have the athletic trainers understand how we're helping them. But we're here for you guys. It's fun. It's exciting. And I mean, I was talking to Jeremy about this before we started. It's not easy. So when you guys have the idea of starting a business, just realize it is a challenge. It's a lot of work. It doesn't go the way you want it to go, but you have to pivot. You have to adjust to what people are saying. And you really, really have to have that passion. So we all have that passion. We're excited about the opportunity. We're excited about just the future and what it holds and the people we talk to every week. So stay in touch. Remember, innovateat.com. We have the private group. It's $5 if you want to be part of a very new conversation and to have resources and tools. And then stay tuned for the new website and the whole new platform that really builds all of these resources around you.
All right. And then again, joining us live, Charlie Hunt, Alexis Padilla, Jesse Shanks, Donna Case-Ledge, Sarah Jackson, Zach Martindale, Joe Scarcella, I think I said that. Pretty sure I said that wrong. Devin Steven, of course, Brandy Curry commenting live there. Randy Engerstein helping out with Frio Hydration. He is the, I guess, more of the silent partner compared to Rob on Frio Hydration. Sean Reedy. Again, I wish I'd gotten Sean on here once I knew that Casey and Paul didn't, because Sean is going to be part of another one of the conversations where we're talking about, we mentioned so many times, either you're going to pay a little bit of money on the front end to keep everything organized, or you're going to pay more on the back end. And he said, that's the conversation that I had with Sean, is that I wish I'd done it correct in the first place, because I ended up with a whole big mess that, you know, I had to pay more for to sort out later. And so at some point I'm going to have Sean on and probably you there, and we'll just discuss these things. And once I know more about his story in detail, we may get one of your accountants or lawyers on with us as well, so we can help understand that. So those of you checking in live, watching live, joining the conversation, creating a better environment, a show that speaks more to you, this is what it's about, right? So this one, I, you know, had a lot of questions personally, but the Sports Medicine Broadcast, it's what it is. It's to help us improve our profession as athletic trainers and to promote what we are doing. And so again, Adam, innovating AT athletic training, creating a just completely different business model, thought, idea. And again, reach out to Adam anytime you got questions. Brandy, if you really want to get into what are you doing, what is your why, reach out to them and go from there. And again, talk about Dragonfly Max. I'll be at the NATA Lounge, and we'll be interviewing lots of different people, and I'll have several different podcasts, athletic training podcast guests hosting there for me. Alicia from AT Advantage, probably Polos and Khakis host there. I'll have Todd Sable, maybe Jeff Driven. I know John Seiko is going to help me out, Mike McKinney. So I'm looking forward to meeting everybody there at NATA and all these other podcast hosts, so we can get there. Check that out. So Dr. Mark Knobloch checking in live as well as we wrap up here. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/LLC update. You can reach out to me, which is Jeremy Jackson, or Adam Halpern there on Facebook. Either way, I'll have the show notes there again at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/LLC update. So for Jeremy, Adam, Rob, and Casey, who couldn't end up joining us today, and then as we're celebrating National Athletic Training Month and businesses owned by or run by athletic trainers, that is a wrap. Thanks.